special edition of Louisiana Focus, we'll be hearing about a new community research project pertaining to Louisiana's Acadian identity and history. Acadian. Some people may be wondering where the word Acadian stems from, especially as they start hearing more about the New Acadia Project, also known as Projet Nouvelle Acadie. If you bring up Evangeline, or maybe the poet Henry Longfellow, it may trigger some thoughts. Perhaps you've heard of the New Acadia Project while roaming around the grounds of Festival Acadien Creole in October, or stumbled across written articles on it in local papers in Baton Rouge and Lafayette. It is a research, public outreach, and community engagement project. Its mission is to locate the early home sites and associated unmarked graves of the first large group of Acadians who arrived to South Louisiana in 1765 with Joseph Beausoleil Broussard.
People across America, though, don't know about the Acadians. And it was the Acadians who created the Cajun culture, in a sense.
Cheryl Perrette, chairwoman of the New Acadia Project Steering Committee, which helps with the promotion and fundraising efforts, has the Broussard lineage on both sides. But there is still the question of who's Joseph Beausoleil Broussard and why is this project so significant? Le Grand Arrangement, or as some know it, the expulsion of 1755, is an important and tragic time in Acadian history. The British came to occupy the lands settled by the earliest French pioneers in Acadie, known today as Nova Scotia, New Brunswick, and Prince Edward Island in eastern Canada. About 10,000 Acadians were deported from their homeland because they refused to join forces with the British government to fight against the French. It was then that Beausoleil Broussard showed his bravery, fighting for his Acadian people, and became an important figure in American history.
Joseph Beausoleil Broussard was an actual historical person who led a resistance during the exile process. He fought back for a while. They were eventually forced to give themselves up, basically starving to death, and they were eventually exiled, but he was a gifted organizer. He was also apparently something of... He could be something of a problem. He was a bit of a rabble-rouser.
Barry Ancelet, a professor of Francophone Studies and Folklore at University of Louisiana, Lafayette, is also a member of the New Acadia Project Steering Committee. He's inspired to tell people of Beausoleil's notable story in Acadian Cajun history.
He's a genuine hero. He was a rebel. We love rebels. It's a quintessentially American story in a way. You know, he's as much a rebel as was Patrick Henry or Thomas Jefferson or any of the American Revolutionary patriots fighting back because it was wrong, fighting against, you know, the oppression of an imperial power. That's what he was doing. So it's an essentially American story, just a slight twist on it, in that he was French-speaking and Acadian and figured out another kind of solution.
The New Acadia Project is being headed by Mark Reese, an archaeologist, professor, and department head of sociology and anthropology at University of Louisiana at Lafayette. He submitted his proposal request to the Board of Regents Support Fund for Louisiana. The funding Reese hopes to receive will help him get the project off the ground by affording a research associate, students, ethnographers, historians, and archaeologists to launch the study.
The three main reasons for wanting to do this project would have to be the connection with identity, with Acadian and Cajun identity, culture, and heritage, whatever you want to call it. And then the second is the historical and archaeological and cultural questions that are of interest to someone with an interest in history and culture, the historian or the layperson who might not be a historian but has an interest in documenting history, whether it's through documents or through archaeology. The third real reason to do a project like this is actually quite different, but it is related to the first two, and that has to do with economics.
Economics is certainly something that the mayor of Lorville knows about. Albert Antoine Broussard Jr., also known as Mayor Al, is a native of Lorville, set on the Bayou Teche. In 1910, when his village was first incorporated, the population was 291, and today the community population is about 960.
The village is so small, we don't have any recognition. We need something to put us on a map, so to speak. And I honestly believe that this is the ticket to that.
Mayor Al has been with the New Acadia Project Steering Committee since July 2013.
It means a lot to the village and to the parish. And the economic development through cultural tourism is really important to this area.
Since Mayor L. has done his genealogy and found that he's ninth generation great-grandson of Joseph Beausoleil Broussard, his interest in the project has grown considerably. The more he gets involved in it, the more interested he becomes. He says that just the background is intriguing to him, and he's not the only one.
The village people are really interested. You know, they'll stop me at the post office and ask me questions. They're really interested in helping and working with us. And, you know, we've done several interviews with older people that know of grave sites, you know, oral history collections. And everybody wants to help and is very interested. And that's the way we're going to do this, with the cooperation of the local people.
Interest in the mission of the New Acadia Project, of uncovering the origins of Acadian culture in Louisiana, extends beyond the Lorville community in Acadiana. Archaeologists from Baton Rouge and Grand Pre National Historical Site in Nova Scotia, Canada, are also showing interest. Grand Pre commemorates the center of Acadian settlement from 1682 to the time of expulsion in 1755. This National Historical Site is well known to the project participants for its archaeological efforts. It seems only logical that archaeologists would want to complete the connection from Nova Scotia to South Louisiana.
We can see that very good archaeological inquiry has been done at certain places. And people call us wanting to know, where is the evidence from Louisiana? And we look around, and there's hardly any that are really, that we would say, Acadian archaeology that has been done in any sort of scientific or systematic way. Very little of it has been done. So that's an inspiration to us. And certainly I hope there are many opportunities for collaboration.
Ray Brasseur, an ethnographer and anthropology professor at the university, has been engaged by this mystery since he was about 8 years old. Brasseur remembers when he first took the position as leader of interpretation at the Acadian House Museum in St. Martinville in 1980. Beausoleil Broussard was not one of the characters included in the interpretive script at that time, and he explains why.
He wasn't a character that was known because he was pushed aside by Evangeline herself. One of the drivers of the New Acadian Project is this person, Beausoleil Broussard, Joseph Beausoleil Broussard, and the idea that we should find him, that we should know where his last resting place was, because he was so important of a character. That is a new development in local Acadian identity.
Over his years of working in St. Martinville, Brasseur realized that people in New Brunswick and Nova Scotia generally knew more about Beausoleil than people in Louisiana, even though Beausoleil led the first group of Acadians to the state in 1765. The New Acadia Project is aware of other important groups forming their cultural identities while they roll out their research. The project is focused on the first arrival of Acadians to Louisiana, but because it's attached to a historical record and plans to uncover new archaeological evidence associated with real history, it might also have the potential to go beyond that.
There are French people here earlier than the Acadians. There are Native Americans here. And there's black people, African descendants, people who were born in Africa and their descendants here before the Acadians arrived.
Beausoleil says that the mission of the New Acadia Project seems to resonate with many in southwestern Louisiana's community.
Even people who've never heard of Beausoleil and only had heard of Evangeline and that whole story, even those people, when they hear about it for the first time, they say, oh, wow, cool. That's our guy. Of course that's our guy. That's who we are. That's exactly who we are. I often say, if our grandmothers and great-grandmothers had been like Evangeline, none of us would be here. She had no children. Thank God they weren't. We're here.
Warren Perrin, an attorney in Lafayette, Louisiana, and an Acadian culture enthusiast, is an eighth-generation ancestor of Beausoleil. He's also founder of the Acadian Museum in Erath that is connected to the non-profit Acadian Heritage and Culture Foundation, which collects donations to support Professor Reese's project.
It became apparent to me that there was a large void or lack of information concerning why the first generation of Acadians were so successful. Within one generation, these people died wealthy, And that's quite astounding when you consider they arrived here with nothing but the clothes on their backs. The more information that we can obtain, that will help us understand more of ourselves.
Peta is not the only one that recognizes it's a matter of identity to uncover the true story. So does Professor Brasser.
We need to have a persona, a people who we know who participated in the story. The Acadians aren't just good enough, you know. The Acadians came. They arrived here. They camped here. No, we need to know who they were and to see if we're akin to them. You know, we want to find out. We want to know for sure.
And it has bothered us that we base what we transmit to others who come to visit and to our children a myth. The history and the reality is far more fascinating.
In 1934, Louisiana created its first state park to encourage tourism based on Acadian culture in St. Martinville. At one point, renovations were going on around the St. Martin Catholic Church, where some bones were excavated. Very old and unmarked burials were found around that area. André Olivier, who operated the Evangeline Museum nearby in the 1920s, claimed that the bones were those of Evangeline. But they were not. Like the nearby Evangeline Oak, they advanced a myth.
Commemorated and built a monument to a grand myth that really represents for us the tragedy, the trauma, and the sorrow of the displacement, of the exile. Yet it's a myth. And so while we've found where these trees are, you know, and we have the Evangeline Oak, and we have this landscape based on a carefully constructed mythology, there's something missing, and that's the authentic history, which we know is out there.
Professor Osele says the Evangeline Oak was always more about the myth than the actual history.
They're imaginary constructions. I mean, the Evangeline Oak is the third one to be so designated. You know, one of the first ones burned, and then the other one fell in the bayou. So, but if you need an oak, you're damn well going to have an oak. But it shows the extent to which people who are visiting, who are trying to visit culture and history, need a point. They need a spot. So if you have this desire and you need a spot, you'll find a spot. Well, what about if we found an actual spot instead of just an imaginary spot?
As much as the Evangeline Oak is used to tell the story of Evangeline, so is the nearby statue based on a popular 1929 silent movie starring Dolores del Rio. The famous actress ended up donating a statue of herself dressed as Evangeline to the town of St. Martinville. It was placed next to the church where they claimed to have found Evangeline's real bones. Years later, a new story of the treasured bones was retold by Felix Voorhees. The new story did not want to get it confused with the poem and claimed the bones were not of Evangeline's but those of Emmeline Labiche.
Whether those bones were actually Evangeline's bones or not, it didn't take too much convincing for people to say, okay, that's what this is, and we'll do it. We have to be cautious that what sort of evidence will we find and how it will be used to tell a story and what story will be told.
And so this new story was similar to Longfellow's, but had more local character. However, the local characters were constructed just like Evangeline. Emmeline Labiche and Louis Arsenault were made to fit a new dramatic fictional story. These stories may have managed to parallel the tragic story of the Acadians, in which that was true. But for many, through time, the Evangeline myth transformed into somewhat of an actual historical account of the Acadian story. The supporters of the New Acadia Project don't deny the valued attention the Evangeline poem brought to Acadian history, but Professor Mark Rees also wants to bring attention and evidence to real historical stories.
More archaeology has been done on Acadian sites in Maine and Massachusetts than has been done in Louisiana. That might strike some people as odd.
Professor Brasser says the documented story that the New Acadia Project is uncovering will replace the myth of Evangeline that for years was a cornerstone of Acadiana.
I'm not saying it's a good or a bad thing, but it did bring together a sense of identity among people who before that likely did not know or have any idea whether they were Acadian or what the Acadian story even was. But what this is, today the new Acadia project is one that demands evidence.
The participants of the New Acadia Project believe there are a lot of historical reasons to visit St. Martinville because there were a lot of Acadians that used the French post there initially after their arrival. But it should be kept in mind that a lot of the sites there are also based on literature. Beausoleil and his story are quite real.
His personality was a bit lost in the shuffle. But that's actually has more to do with the fact that two things. One, we didn't have an actual Acadian history, a history of the Acadians. And two, we had this piece of literature that took up all the space, took up all the conceptual space. And so when people here in Louisiana think of early Acadian history and how we got here, they immediately think of a fictional character, Evangeline, as opposed to a historical character because the history wasn't available. But now that the history is becoming available, we would logically, any reasonable person would turn to that. The project is so important because it gives us an opportunity to have that discussion in public. You know, it gives us the opportunity to say, look, Evangeline was a great poem, but that's all it was. This guy was real. He actually got on a boat. He actually came here. He actually worked and suffered and died and got married and had kids and everything else. You know, it's a real historical character whose effort has way more to do with why we're here than Longfellow's poem.
The reasons are clear as to why these Acadians or Cajuns feel this project should move forward, especially when they hear of the threat of future developments.
And this really needs to be done, if for no other reason, just simply the fact that if we wait long enough, if we continue to wait, then it's almost certain that the campsites, the home sites really of the first Acadians, and possibly even the grave sites, will be built over, that they'll have residences, home sites, or driveways on top of these sites, and they'll be completely inaccessible. Now, that may have already potentially happened, but we can't afford to wait another 10 years or 20 years and assume that the sites are protected. They're not.
Mark Reese, along with the others, believe the main challenge at the moment is funding. There are great costs associated with technology and personnel needed to proceed to properly find evidence with a professionally executed research project such as this one.
It would be great to be able to just put this together based on the interest of people, but it really requires some expertise. It requires someone, for example, with the expertise to run a remote sensing device like a cesium magnetometer or a ground-penetrating radar. We have some equipment. We could use better equipment. We could certainly use more personnel. It would take volunteers or hired or partly paid staff to do field work, to go out and walk fields.
Professor Reese explains that this is not a short-term deal. The New Acadia project will not be completed in a month or two or even a summer. There are historical sources and oral histories that need to be collected and burial sites to be inspected. Adam Doucet, an undergraduate student supervised by Professor Brasseur, is currently compiling an oral history research.
Realistically, I had said 3 to 5 years to start. But even after just about a month of initial interest by the community, some things have come up which have led me to believe that we might not need to wait 3 years before we find one of these home sites or the unmarked burials, that in fact we might be able to do it, maybe make a positive identification within the first year.
Barry Ancelet recalls another inspiring event for the New Acadia Project, the Congrès Mondial Acadien of 2004 in Nova Scotia. That was when he learned that the organizers had found a way to overlay old historical documentation over contemporary maps. Seeming somewhat simple, Ancelet found it to be perfect because these new maps allowed for Acadians and Cajuns to retrace, experience, and reconnect with their families' ancestral grounds.
You could actually go to where the Leblancs came from, or where the Bobineaus came from, or where the Thériaus came from. You know, take your shoes off and go walk on that dirt. You know, it was a way of connecting. It was like emotional tourism. Not only cultural tourism, but emotional tourism. It was a way of connecting, and I thought it was a brilliant thing. And one of the things that we could do with this project, if we are able to begin to identify some of those original sites, would be to create a a visitable place. You know.
Answers to funding requests and time will give more information on the advances of the New Acadia project and whether archaeology will bring the people closer to the real Acadian story in Louisiana. In the meantime, the New Acadia Project participants feel there is already great success.
People in the papers are talking about it. People on television are talking about it. People in the community are talking about it. This is a brand new discussion that for once is based on actual fact. The project has already succeeded just by launching this discussion.
For this special edition of Louisiana Focus, I'm Louisette LeBlanc.